I'm glad I got that parrot on the show today.
Parrot's
better,
ridiculous.
Don't you think?
The
I
parrot
love the
can't
parrot.
Sing. No, the singing parrot,
parrot
is ridiculous.
Singing parrot. So what is up, people? Thank you very much for being out there. Thank you very much for listening. We appreciate you. Without you guys, we would not be able to do this dumb show every single day. And yesterday, well, it all came down to 4th and 8 and just a genius move by former Rams offensive coordinator Matt LaFleur to kick the field goal. Take the 3 while you can, even though it's a 1-possession game. It is inexplicable what happened at the end of that game, John.
I've had a lot of time to think about it.
Yeah.
And normally I'm not fire the coach guy, and I don't think Matt LaFleur is going to get fired, but that will live with him for the rest of his life.
Yep.
That there's no I don't understand, and I never will, Mace, the insistence on NFL coaches to take less points, to give up the ball.
Right, right.
I mean, time management in this league is a joke. It happens every week, and it happened again with LaFleur. So, on one end, you have the choice. Go for it on 4th and 8, tie the game, or kick a field goal, be down 5, and give the ball to Tom Brady.
Yep.
Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback ever to play the game. And you decide choice B.
Yeah,
Wow.
Although, wow. I'll say on the third down, if you go back and look at the third down play, don't you think Rodgers could have run the ball in? I thought it was right there for him. It was wide open to run the ball in on third down.
I thought so, too. You'd never know, but he's got to make those decisions bang, bang. And there was one defender, I think it was Jason Pierre-Paul, that might have had a shot at him.
Yeah.
But
take a shot. Get the ball down to the 2. Then you got a chance. Then it makes, then you got to be a dummy not to go for it on 4th down. But, yeah, it boggles my mind that you would take 3 points in that situation knowing that all Tampa will have to do is get 1 or 2 first downs on the other side. And they did, by the way, get the pass interference penalty on 3rd down. But that was a totally legit PI call, don't you think?
Yeah, I don't understand.
He grabbed his jersey.
Yeah, I was on Twitter at the time, and everybody's saying, oh, they don't call – I think Sinano did this. They don't call it all game, and now they call it. What do you want him to do? He's got a handful of jersey.
You can't pull the jersey.
Yeah, it just, to me, anybody complaining about that is whining. And by the way, the Packers didn't deserve it. They gave up the ball. They kicked a field goal. You don't deserve to win. Get out.
Plus,
the big question now is, believe it or not, is that play, the one you described, the 3rd down play where Aaron Rodgers elected not to run, and then they kicked it on 4th, is that his last play as a Packer?
Hail, fellow well met. I say... After the game, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers completely threw Matt LaFleur under the bus. Completely threw him under the bus. Said that wasn't my call. I would have done something different if I knew we weren't going for it on 4th down. That was completely him throwing Matt LaFleur under the bus. And they've had sort of a mixed relationship. They went 12-3 last year. They went 13-3 last year, 13-3 this year. Didn't get to the Super Bowl either time. It's been sort of a mixed relationship. They drafted his replacement in this year's draft when they could have chosen a skills position or a great offensive lineman or somebody to really help Aaron. So to me, that's once you draft the replacement, I think that's it. I think you're pretty much done in the near future, in the near term, don't you?
Well... he sounded like a guy who's thinking about leaving. And by the way, before you people jump down our throats and say, hey, why are Mason and Ireland putting it out there that Aaron Rodgers might leave and he might come to the Rams? It's not us that's putting it out there. It's Adam Schefter, one of the premier NFL reporters ever. Matter of fact, Jorge, here's Adam Schefter this morning on Get Up proposing that after what he heard Aaron Rodgers say, when the Packers lost, that this is a real possibility.
We know that he was not particularly enthralled with the team's selection of Jordan Love. We know that he's at the point of his career where clearly he's frustrated with these playoff defeats. Now, again, let's get ahead of ourselves. He's under contract to the Green Bay Packers for 3 more seasons. So they control him for 3 more seasons. Unless Aaron Rodgers says, I'm not going to play there anymore. I'm going to retire. I'm going to go rogue here and force my way out of there and I want to be traded. And I want to be traded, let's just say, to Southern California, where I own a home, 20 minutes from the Rams facility. Yeah. Now, I'm not telling you that it goes that way. I'm just telling you that was an unusual press conference. There were a lot of emotions. And he has to take some time and step back and figure out what he wants to do.
Mace, so there you have that.
Yeah. Mace, let me put this out there, too. For people saying that that's just Adam Schefter throwing stuff, Adam Schefter doesn't throw stuff up against the wall. He's not that guy.
Nope.
Secondly, we live in a time of athlete empowerment. Think about it. Where did James Harden say all along he wanted
exactly
to go?
Exactly where he wanted to go.
Where did Anthony Davis say all along he wanted
exactly
to go?
Exactly where he wanted to go.
That's the way elite players are these days. They can dictate their circumstances. And if Aaron Rodgers wants to come to the Rams, and like we've already got one tweet here, Gabe Rodriguez, don't put that false hope out there, Mace. The Rams have zero assets to do this and in a way to make it work with the cap. Not true. That's what everybody said about the Lakers. That's what everybody said about the Nets. That's you can make all the stuff can work. You put in future picks. You put
right.
in guys that you don't think were available yesterday. They become available. It's Aaron Rodgers.
Right. And let's face it. Les Snead is a crafty dude. You know, he found a way to get Jalen Ramsey here when a lot of people thought, well, he won't go for Jalen Ramsey or they don't have the assets for Jalen Ramsey. They've got first-round picks. They have their second and third this year. Then they got their first every year after that. You can trade first-round picks to get Aaron Rodgers. And you've got to – and by the way, we don't live in a world where you have to match salaries. But ultimately, I think they got to find a taker for Jared Goff. And let me just throw this in there. Matt LaFleur was Jared Goff's offensive coordinator when the Rams made their Super Bowl run. Maybe he thinks there's something to be unlocked in Jared Goff that hasn't been tapped so far with the Rams.
And the way a lot of these deals get done is relationships. Matt LaFleur and Sean McVay are very good friends. They, you know, if Aaron Rodgers were to play the card that Adam Schefter suggested, hey, I want to be traded, and I want to be traded to the Rams. McVay, LaFleur, Les Snead, all these guys get on the phone.
Yep.
And they say, okay, take a look at our roster. What do you want? What makes this work? And then you decide yes or no if it's worth it. But is it a possibility? Absolutely.
By the way,
we live in a time where Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback to ever play the game, left New England and went to Tampa Bay and took him to the Super Bowl. Think
yeah.
about that.
And for the Rams, by the way, nobody's off limits. Nobody's off limits.
Of course
it's like when Chris Mortensen was on last week and said we threw out that crazy idea, Deshaun Watson for Aaron Donald. He said immediately if that offer were on the table, you would take Deshaun Watson.
Now, but that's a harder deal to make for Aaron Rodgers, Mace, because of Aaron Rodgers' age. I think I would trade. I know you wouldn't. I would trade Aaron Donald for Deshaun Watson. I don't know if you can put him in a deal for Aaron Rodgers because you would only have Rodgers for a year or two.
Well, who knows how much? Who knows how long? I mean, Tom Brady's 43. Who knows how long you would have Aaron Rodgers for? This is a time when quarterbacks' careers are extending longer and longer. 38 years old, 38 is the new 33. Let's face it. Look at Tom Brady. He's still out there doing it. You know, there's no reason why Aaron Rodgers can't be that guy too. And if you put Aaron Rodgers on that Rams team this year, I think, especially with that defense, they wind up winning it all.
Has a league MVP, because I think Rodgers is going to win it, has a league MVP ever moved right after he wins MVP?
Boy, that's a good question. In any sport.
Did LeBron do it? Did one of the years LeBron win either Cleveland to Miami or Miami to Cleveland or Cleveland to L.A.? Was that in an MVP year? Possibly.
Maybe.
He's won four
Maybe.
Of them. Yeah.
Yeah, but it has to be pretty rare. Has to be yeah. pretty rare.
I think it's ever happened in football.
877-710-ESPN is the number anytime you want to ring through. And guess who's coming up, John? It's our old friend Max Kellerman.
That's right.
That's right. We'll get his take on all this stuff coming up next for you. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Nico the Parrot. So, John, one of the foremost names in doing the stuff that we do here every day is the guy that comes on right before us. He was the longtime afternoon guy here at 710 ESPN. Now he's a really big star. He lives back in New York. He's doing everything nationally. Max Kellerman joins us. Max, what's up, man?
Hi, Max.
I just remember when I was there and happy and the weather was warm. And now I'm talking to you from the back of an Uber. It's freezing outside and I have a mask on. I don't know what happened, but...
It is rough.
All right, Max, lots of places to go. And one of the reasons you've been such a success in your life is that you're willing to take positions and stick to them. I don't know the answer to this because I didn't watch First Take today, but for years you've been saying it's a risk to ride with Tom Brady because he's eventually going to fall off a cliff. Are you now sticking to that, or do you think it's time to admit that for whatever reason, Brady has been the one guy who can beat Father Time?
Well, I will say this. I made the cliff prediction in July of 2016, okay?
Yeah, right. Good
in
call.
In the intervening 5 years, if... Like, Tom Brady has had a complete Hall of Fame career since I made that prediction. In other words, if someone would have come into the league and done exactly what he did, for an MVP, a Super Bowl MVP, 4 Super Bowl appearances, 2 championships at least, they would be in the Hall, and then they called it a career after 5 years. They'd be a first ballot Hall of Famer, and that's what he's done since my prediction. But no, damn it, I was right.
There eventually will be a cliff.
Yeah. No, hey. No. As a matter of fact, it's a ravine, but the problem is it's pointing up. He's actually right. Climbing up.
Kind of a valley.
Hey,
yeah.
Max, I was just thinking, is there a comp in sports ever of a guy that has maintained to the age that he's maintained?
Well, I mean, in basketball years, LeBron James is doing something very similar. And in fact, in certain ways, it's more impressive what Brady's doing because he's playing a full contact sport. And but in other ways, LeBron, he's never ceded really the title of best player in the game. I thought 3 different times maybe he had. At first, KD won the MVP and deserved it right in the middle of LeBron's prime. And then Steph won 73 games and deserved the MVP. And then Kawhi in LeBron's absence. An injury, you know, played lights out in the playoffs, but every time he's repelled the challenger and proven clearly, in fact, he is the best player in the game. As great as Tom Brady is, I think a lot of years went by where he was correctly not considered the best player in the game. So LeBron is one, Kareem, when you count the college career he had, is another.
Right.
Bernard Hopkins in boxing was winning until he was 50 years old.
Yeah.
I don't know we've ever seen anything quite. By the way, Satchel Paige.
Yeah, no, old Satch. ERA did you see him? Majors? Did you see him play? What did Bill James say about Satchel Paige? listen, Kellerman, when you were out here, no matter what team that would be mentioned, you would say. You too. You're like, so I'm a fan of this team. Me too. Right? That was one of the bits of shtick you always did, right?
Well, no, normally it was based on some accomplishment. Like, you know, we'd have a guest on, and they would tell me about, listen, when I, you know, I played 13 years in the NFL. Me too.
Me too. So, Max, since the Rams came back to L.A., not only am I a big Rams fan, but I'm a season ticket holder. I even bought personal seat licenses. And the moment I saw that play yesterday, Green Bay not going for it on 4th and 8, I thought, man, Aaron Rodgers is going to be really pissed off about this. He's going to want out. He's going to want to come to the Rams. And then later on early this morning, Adam Schefter was like, yeah, if he wants to go to Los Angeles, he'll go to Los Angeles. What are the odds? What are we looking at? Aaron Rodgers, Rams.
Look, if Rodgers wants out, you would think Los Angeles would be one of the natural places for him. Great young head coach, dynamic team where they could be doing more if with a better quarterback than Goff, and, you know, went to Cal. So, and it's from the West Coast. So, like, all of that makes sense. That said, there are a couple of teams that make sense for Aaron Rodgers if, in fact, he wants to move on, including maybe the Patriots, or maybe if he wants to stay in the division, the Bears, who've never had a great quarterback. But when you look at it, the Rams are at least as likely as any team.
Max, if you look at the way sports are now, like basically James Harden called his shot. He said, I want to go to Brooklyn. He ended up in Brooklyn. If you go back a year, Anthony Davis, I want to go to the Lakers. He ends up with the Lakers. That's really never happened in football unless the guy's a free agent like Brady.
Right.
Could Roger – how likely is it Rodgers could dictate terms when he has 3 years left on his deal?
I think things are changing, guys. I think when there are special kinds of players who can who really, you believe, have such a sway on the fortunes of the team that, especially given the example of the NBA, though it's a very different sport, usually, you know, in the NFL, it's been head coaches are the main correlation with winning, right? That's the number one thing correlates your head coach. In Major League Baseball, it's the GM. In basketball, it's the star player. So usually NBA players have had more sway, but look what's happening with Deshaun Watson now. Do you guys think he's going to be on the Texans next year?
No, I don't.
And I think there is a good chance if they drafted his successor. You know, they did that for a reason. Now, were I Rodgers, would I want to leave? I would say that you won 13 games and beat Seattle in the playoffs with LaFleur year one before you even knew what you were doing in the system. You looked like a game manager. The following year, you're the best player in the world. You're going to win MVP. You won 13 games again, and this time you won two playoff games. So they're heading in the right direction. Now, they did draft his successor. On the other hand, it means they don't have to do that again. They can use all their draft picks to get better. So if I were him, I would not want to move on.
So the amazing thing, Max, about you is that somehow you seem to lose every argument with Stephen A. Smith. How is that possible? Like, I generally think even a broken clock is right twice a day. How do you lose every argument?
Well, the interesting thing about you, Mace, it's amazing, is that you think I lose any argument to Stephen A. Smith. I think when you consider it, that is a greater talent than the talent you perceive me to have.
Plus, you lose every single DraftKings matchup to me with me.
Now, I know that's not true, and I've never even seen your DraftKings league. Your last place, Mace.
I am the Draft King. And as a matter of fact, Raj calls himself the Draft Queen. Steve Mason is the draft knave.
The draft joker. Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I've had a rough year. Kellerman actually does kill it in DraftKings. I think he's getting all sorts of inside information from Field Yates. That's what I heard.
Well, that's what I would do if I were you, Max. Hey, so Max, are the Lakers gonna win back to back?
Yeah, they're going to win back-to-back, guys. Who's going to stop them? I mean, knock wood, barring a catastrophic injury.
Sure.
They are a well-oiled machine. They won it all in year one. They are the only team, top five offensive and defensive efficiency, and they got better in the offseason. I think the Lakers take it again.
All right, so settle an argument. I think Brooklyn is a carbon copy of what Miami was a few years ago. They're going to struggle to figure it out in the beginning. The Heat, when they got the big three, started 9-8. I think that's exactly what Brooklyn's going through right now, Max. I've got the Nets in the finals against the Lakers. Mason says it won't work. Those three guys are too selfish.
There's only
one ball. If we gave you Brooklyn or the field to come out of the East, where are you going?
I'm going to take Brooklyn because I've seen two things. One, the way Harden and Durant play together. And two, the fact is, or that's the thing I've seen, the fact is, they're thin. They need some depth. They need a guy to defensive rebound, you know. They need certain things. But Kyrie Irving can either basically lead that second unit. And when you say that, 35 minutes a game, you're off the bench. But you also have plenty of overlap with everyone. So Kyrie starts the game but also leads the second unit. Kendrick Perkins has been talking about that, and he's absolutely right. But if that's not working, I don't care how damaged his reputation is, you can get stuff for Kyrie that might work. You know, he does have trade value, even if it's not commensurate with his what it should be. You can get stuff, and the combination of KD and Harden has shown to be very effective. Like, Harden showed up as a fat guy. Like, how are you fat in the backcourt in the NBA? How's that even possible? He showed up rolling out of bed, looking like a hot mess, and dropping 30 points with a triple-double and a win. So as they go along, those two should get better and better, and I really do think that that they're going to come out of the East.
Hey, what part of town are you living in New York? Are you in Manhattan? Yeah, I assume you're in Manhattan, right?
I am indeed.
Are you Manhattan. Lower East? You Lower West Side? Where are you? Village?
I am in Tribeca, Mace, if you must
Tribeca.
Know.
Tribeca?
Jay-Z, all the luminaries in popular culture.
You can tell a lot about somebody in New York by what neighborhood they choose to live in. Because I think you didn't grow up in Tribeca. That wasn't even a thing when you were growing up, was it?
No, it was, as a matter of fact. When I grew up in Greenwich Village. I was born in the Bronx, but I grew up in Greenwich Village. And Tribeca was the coolest place I thought in the city. And one of my best friends as a kid lived in Tribeca. And I thought, when I grow up, I'm going to live there. I get my hands on some money, I'm going to live right there. Although it was like warehouses and stuff. But I always thought it was a cool spot. And so here I am, Mace.
Matt, now that you're a 1% guy, you live exactly where you want, right?
1%? 1%?
Don't sell him short.
Perish.
What's wrong with you? Hey, Max.
1%. Well, since when have I been slumming, Mace? How dare you?
Exactly. Hey, Max, is La Conda Verde still open, or did it get kneecapped by the pandemic?
What?
You don't know about La Conda Verde, De Niro's restaurant in Tribeca?
La Conda Verde? He has a restaurant in Tribeca. It's like the Tribeca Grill, I think.
I'll send it to you. It's good. Now, Max, who wins the Super Bowl?
I like the Chiefs. I think Mahomes is the one guy I've ever seen in the NFL where, as long as he's playing, I like the team he's on. A lot of that, Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill are amazing, but Mahomes is like Dan Marino when you first saw him. Oh my God! Plus Joe Montana combined, right? He has a great situation. He's huge in the clutch, and he has eye popping. You know, he has the best arm. He's also the most accurate. He also makes the best decisions. He also is great with his legs. He's also big and strong. He also draws plays up in the dirt like Favre and just has fun out there and yet doesn't turn the ball over. So he's like, I just like any team he's on. That said, guys, if Tom Brady at 43 beats Patrick Mahomes, you know, after beating Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers on the road to win the Super Bowl, there's no point in comparing other football players to him anymore. It's like him and Babe Ruth and Michael Jordan and who's the best. That's it.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, listen, we listen every day. When you say, hey, nerds, I identify. I absolutely identify.
Yes, I'm talking to you mainly, Nate.
All right. Thanks, Max. We listen every day.
To hey, nerd.
That's me. All right, thanks, Kellerman.
Thank you, Max.
All right, guys, thanks.
There's Max Kellerman. So, I miss Max. Max was good here, wasn't he?
Yeah.
You know what's weird about Max? I'll just say this real quick, now that he's off the line. I learned as much about radio from Max as I did from anybody in my whole career. He was that good. He was that good. Now I learn at the feet of George Sedano, who's teaching me radio one day at a time.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah. All right, coming up for 877-710-ESPN. Lines are open. Also, coming up for you at 140, John, the terrible movie that has become a gigantic hit on Amazon. And then we'll do some Lakers at 2 o'clock with the great O'Shea Jackson Jr., Mason Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Is he insinuating that was us? Some things start out as a train wreck and actually become long running. I think he was referring to us.
Knowing Morales, probably.
877-710-ESPN.
Putting in everything.
By the way, join me on the I Hate Tony Romo Facebook page.
Oh, please.
He annoys me so much.
Tony Romo's great.
So much.
Just a hater.
He is such an annoying guy. Give me some Troy Aikman. Give me some Chris Collinsworth. Give me some Lewis Riddick. Romo, he predicts every single play like he thinks he's Nostradamus. And he gets half of them wrong. Then he gets credit for getting all of them right.
I didn't hear him try and predict any plays.
Oh, my God. That's all he does is predict plays. Here's what they're going to do here, Jim. Here's what they're going to do here, Jim.
He'll say,
here's
watch this guy in the slot. But that's good. I like it.
Yeah, I cannot stand it. Can't stand it. All right, so Mythical Money this weekend. Oh, yeah. I wanted to mention one thing. We got O'Shea Jackson Jr. at 2 o'clock, and we got a chance to talk to broadcast legend Larry King on the show last year. He passed away at the age of 86 over the weekend. Talk about a legacy. Unbelievable career that he had. And we had a really, really funny interview with him that we will bring you at 3 o'clock today. And by the way, we'll lead you right up to Lakers-Cavs, which pregame starts at 3:30 today. That means at any moment, Michael Thompson could pop into the show. It's game day. Michael Thompson could pop into the show. So Mythical
Surprise
Money.
He's not there already.
Yeah, me too. So Mythical Money, I was wrong on both games, geniusly. So I lose $5,000, lost a prop bet too. John, you.
I hit one out of three. I basically lost, but I also lost my long shot bet. I almost hit it. My 28-1 Tampa Bay Buffalo Super Bowl. So I lose $1,000 there. I lost $1,000 on the parlay. I lost $1,000. On Green Bay, and I won $1,000 back. So I think I ended up losing $2,000.
Yeah, lost $2,000. And then Lindsay hit Bucks plus +3 over Green Bay, but lost Bills plus +3 over Kansas City. So here are the official standings. It is Lindsay, $102,000 Mythical Dollars, and you and I tied at $98,000 Mythical Dollars.
Okay.
I've made some money betting NBA this year so far. That's something you are not allowed to do. Not allowed to do it.
By the way, NBA note, Lakers-Cavs tonight.
Yep.
That's kind of a bummer. Larry Nance out.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, they just announced he's out for the game tonight.
Yeah. So we were going to do – we're doing this this cameo appearance for Tommy Chong, I think was the result of the vote this past week. So, Linz, we're going to work on that for this week?
Yep.
By the way, have you sort of – simmered down from our little explosive outbreak on Friday during the show?
I was the one, not the one who was uncalm. That was you. Have you simmered down?
Oh, really? John, who do you think was less calm, me or Lindsay?
You were yelling. I was just talking like I normally talk.
Mason, I thought Lindsay was less calm.
Me too. I thought you were less calm, Linz.
I know what you're doing.
You got very, very worked up.
Let me get back to editing this interview.
God, she totally. God, she. I don't like it when she figures it out.
Let's vote on it.
Let's vote on it. Who got less calm?
That's what we should have done. Let's vote on it. What?
You know, that was the thing that I got the most reaction from Friday's show, was the on-air fireworks. With Lindsay.
I know I texted both of you like, hey, man, is everything cool?
I know. Jorge was like scared. He's like, this has never happened. Come on, when you were doing the morning show, you must have had stuff like that, didn't you?
Let's just keep talking about something.
Didn't they run George right out of that place? I thought they ran George right out of that show.
I don't know, man. I was just pushing buttons and doing
my
thing.
You have no comment. No comment at all, says Jorge. He does not want to be thrown under the bus, which I have a tendency to do. To do. You know,
yes, unfortunately for me, you know, being a woman, people say a lot more hateful and hurtful things in my direct messages than they're going to tweet at
you. Well, let me ask you a question. You know. As a woman in this profession, why would you keep your DMs open knowing that that's potentially...
That's interesting. Yeah, Lindsay, I just would never keep them open because I don't want to hear from people. But you know what's interesting? Mason used to say his email address was my email address, and now we've switched.
Yes.
If you have a concern about the show, venicemace@gmail.com.
Yeah, go ahead. Send me an email. Send me an email.
You used to be me, and now I've assumed that position. Lindsay, why do you welcome DMs why do you keep them open?
I mean, I keep them open because I use them to contact people for, like, the show and stuff. So,
oh, okay.
You know,
yeah, that
it's
makes
kind
sense.
Of important.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry that that was the outpouring that you got. It wasn't.
Yeah,
it wasn't
how
for
it
me.
Goes. I'm used to it. Most people. That's how it goes.
By the way, are you used to it?
Yeah, people are like that all the time. I mean, you guys have said before. You've read some of Ramona's DMs and mentions and stuff.
Oh,
like it's par for the course.
It's unbelievable to me. I've told this story a bunch of times, but when I worked in TV news and you read the logs, the complaint logs. All the complaints about the men were about content, about something we said. All the complaints about women were about appearance. Why is she wearing her hair like that? Why is she doing it that
right,
way?
Right, right.
And if one of the female anchors made a mistake, it was times 10. The complaints were times 10. It's social media, as I've told you a million times, is a cesspool. And mostly in sports, it's to attack women. It's just ridiculous.
You know, they had the Mega Millions drawing over the weekend.
Yeah, somebody won back east.
And a guy in Michigan hit for $1 billion.
That was
mine. Billion with a B. Now, I had bought tickets for everybody.
No one believes that.
I had absolutely bought Mega Millions. I bought it right
pictures.
At the...
Send pictures now.
Well, I have a tradition. After I buy tickets and they don't win,
yeah, right.
I set them on fire.
That was very quick. That was very
I set them on
you.
Fire. So... I was thinking how life would change with $1 billion. Like, what, John, this is billion with a – this isn't a couple of million. $1 billion.
Right.
What would you do different in life today with $1 billion?
I'd pick one job. I wouldn't
Which
work
one?
Like three jobs.
You take the Lakers job, you'd walk away.
Oh, no. I don't know if they'd have me. You might be stuck with me. But
you would keep a job.
I think so, at least initially. Maybe
but isn't
not.
The Laker you, job more important than the Mason and Ireland job? I
but
mean,
I
you're
work,
the voice of the Lakers.
Right, but I work at their purview. I mean, I work at their privilege. I mean, it's up to them whether I keep working.
Yeah, but I don't know if you know this, but you also work in ESPN's purview. It is your privilege.
But you and I get ratings and we keep the gig. That's
right,
it.
That's true. That's true.
It. That's not necessarily
true.
So
besides that, what do you do?
With $1 billion, what
billion.
Do I do? I don't think my life would change that much, to be honest. Lisa would find a way to spend it.
Yeah, $1 billion? I don't think she could spend it.
She is uniquely talented in this regard.
Would you buy a different house, bigger house, Beverly Hills?
No, I like this house.
Hollywood Hills?
And you know what? I hate moving.
Yeah.
Don't you? You've moved more than I have, but I hate moving.
Yeah, I hate moving. Jorge, what about you? What changes with $1 billion? Obviously, you continue this job as the board op, as the associate producer for the Mason and Ireland show.
Right.
But aside from that, what do you do?
You know how family always asks you for money?
Yes.
This is what I would do. I would help whatever family member is in debt, I would help them by paying their debt off, and they don't ask me for money ever again.
Well, you know what's interesting, Jorge, you say that, is Mace, I saw a documentary once about people that have won the lottery.
Yep.
And many of them are either unhappy or broke because so many people hit them up for money.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to manage what Jorge is talking about.
Do you loan friends money when they ask, John?
This is an interesting question. So, when you say loan money, I'm assuming you mean like a substantial amount. Like if somebody says, hey, give me 20 bucks, you say, give me 20 bucks.
Yeah, no, I mean loan
so
something in the thousands kind of thing.
Three different times I have loaned significant amounts of money to friends who I thought were close friends. One of the three paid it back. The other two didn't pay it back, and I hardly talk to them anymore.
Really?
Because it's not necessarily that I'm not interested in talking to them. It's, I think they feel bad that they can't pay it back. And I've told them, don't. You know, I knew when I gave it to you, there was a chance you couldn't pay me back. But it for lack of a better word, I don't want to say ruined the friendship, but probably ended it. You know, like, it's now we're just kind of acquaintances. You still there?
Yeah, something happened.
Drop
there.
Out there.
But I think we're okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about you? Of the people you've loaned a significant amount of money to, have most of them paid you back or no?
The very first time I loaned my college roommate, I think it was, I don't know, $5,000, because I'd been working the entire way through college. And he wanted to start a Dairy Queen chain. And I'm like, sure, I'll do it. And I loaned him $5,000. And 2 years later, he sent me a check for exactly $5,000. I'm like, well, this is easy. You just loan money to people. Since then, I've loaned money. The way I view it is, if you loan somebody money, never expect to get it back. It's a pretty good rule to follow. I never by the way, don't borrow money from me after this story. but no, I assume that when I loan somebody money, it's gone. And if it comes back, great. If it doesn't, but you're right. Only one time did it ever come back.
And by the person that paid me back, who is still a really good friend of mine, was really hurting. And he, Mace, he would send me like $10 checks. And I loaned him.
Oh, wow.
Like, and I would say, hey, stop doing that. Just pay me. He goes, it's for my own peace of mind. He said, I'm keeping track of it. And it took him 2 or 3 years, but he got it all back to me. And then Simon was forever appreciative. And we're still really good friends. The other two, I don't know if they were embarrassed that they asked. I don't, because I know, I think they could both pay it back if they wanted to.
Right.
But they just chose not to. And so now we're really not very good friends anymore.
Yeah, no, that's awkward. That's awkward. All right. Coming up next, what about you, Jorge? Did you ever loan people a whole bunch of money?
Several, but, you know, like John says, some of them don't pay it back. So
some people don't pay it out. Yeah, that's right. And then you hold a grudge. All right. Coming up next for you, John, the terrible movie that has become a gigantic hit on Amazon. Plus, O'Shea Jackson Jr. will join us at 2 o'clock with the latest on the Lakers, and he's still working for Kevin Durant, so I'm sure he's got an opinion on the Brooklyn Nets. That's coming up for you, too. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
All right, Mason in Ireland, we are having technical difficulties. It was Mason that his machine was making noise, so he'll have to reconnect. We, Mason and I, are leading you up to Lakers-Cavs tonight in Cleveland. Tip-off at 5:30, and the pregame show with Sliwa and Michael starts at 3:30. So Mason and I are only going until 3:30. Now, Lindsay, I don't know the answer to this because you and I were texting over the weekend. Did you figure out a way to get into the game?
No, it was just, you know, it was too much of a hassle at the last minute, I guess. I should have thought about it earlier.
Well, they're only letting, there's limited seating. So if you watch the game tonight on Spectrum, if you listen to it on the radio, you're actually going to hear you're going to hear live actual fans because they have 1,900 fans allowed into, it used to be called the Quicken Loans Arena, but they changed it, right?
Yeah, it's the Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse.
Okay, so it's still in the same industry. But it's the
yes.
Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse tonight. Larry Nance is out with a sprained wrist, which is kind of a bummer because everybody here likes him. They played last night. Cleveland played last night. They got absolutely waxed in Boston. They lost by 38 points, 141 to 103. But J.B. Bickerstaff, the coach of the Cavs, did something really smart. He didn't play any of the starters. There was one guy that played more than 20 minutes, but all the guys that lead the Cavs in scoring this year, the guys like Andre Drummond and Colin Sexton, all played under 20 minutes. So I'm guessing they'll be freshly rested when they get to Cleveland here tonight. And, of course, the Lakers are 9-0 on the road. But here's Lindsay, here's what I'm worried about. I think it's a look-ahead game. And what I mean by that is it's a huge showdown for the Lakers Wednesday night in Philadelphia. A lot of people are pointing to that game as a potential NBA final. Mason thinks that's an NBA finals preview.
Yep.
And Joel Embiid just got named NBA Player of the Week. Oh, Mace, you're back?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay,
I'm back.
So Wednesday, Lakers, Sixers. Mace, does that mean tonight you worry about, like, for example, before this road trip started, this 7-game, 10-day road trip, I said to Michael, is this Golden State game a look-ahead game where they won't pay any attention to the game they're playing because they're about to go on this long trip? And Michael goes, I don't know. Happens sometimes. And it did. That's one of the, you know, they ended up losing to a bad Warriors team. Are you worried tonight in Cleveland's a look-ahead game with the Sixers on Wednesday?
No, I'm not. By the way, are you going to use the word sex land on the broadcast tonight?
I don't know. I'll ask Michael what he thinks of it.
Colin Sexton Darius Garland.
We need to make some kind of pact to try and work it in there.
Oh
yeah. Well, I can get him. Like, so that's the nickname that was it Zach Lowe created.
Yeah, Zach
from
Lowe
ESPN
created it. Yeah.
Because the two most exciting players on the Cavs are Colin Sexton and Darius Garland. He started calling it Sexland, and apparently they don't like it.
Yeah, they
Sexton
don't like it.
And Garland don't like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they do. They're lying.
Which means those are the nicknames that tend to stick. are the ones that don't like.
That's absolutely right. All right, so I was going to do this. By the way, isn't it amazing that that doesn't happen more often, that one of us drops off the show for some reason?
Don't jinx it.
It's incredible. It's incredible. All right, so Jason Statham has got a new movie out. And he's great, right? Everybody loves Jason Statham. Mm-hmm. He's fantastic. Now, this is not exactly a new movie. It's an old movie that has suddenly become a hit on Amazon. It's called In the Name of the Dragon, A Dungeon Siege Tale.
Okay.
It came out in 2008. It stars Statham along with Ray Liotta and Burt Reynolds, believe it or not. It got 4% positive reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, including this one. It's not bad enough to warrant burning copies of. Rather, it'll sit on the back of video store shelves for the rest of its time, and that's where it should stay. So that's one of the many, many.
Boy, remember video stores? Remember going to Blockbuster and trying to pick a movie?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You used to do that like three times a week.
Yep. So all of a sudden, this movie, which is In the Name of the Dragon, A Dungeon Siege Tale, is the number one streaming movie on Amazon.
Wonder why? Number one? It's like ahead of One Night in Miami?
Ahead of everything. It is the number one streaming movie. Now, the one thing I can think of is that, first of all, people do love Jason Statham, and he's great. He's been great in all kinds of stuff, and maybe people are done with the Jason Statham category, and they're down to this last one. But the other thing, I think people on some level like movies that are so bad that they're good. I think that's what's going on here. The idea of Jason Statham handling
it up in a scene with Burt Reynolds. Is there one movie that pops into your head that when I say a movie so bad it's good that if you come across, you'll watch for that exact reason? Because one immediately popped into my head.
Immediately. Showgirls.
That's the one.
Yeah,
that's the one. Showgirls, you can't turn off. But it is not a good movie.
Oh, it's terrible.
In any way.
Yeah, it's terrible.
But it's
Elizabeth
so bad,
Barkley,
it's good.
I know she doesn't like me, but terrible, terrible performance in a terrible movie. Gina Gershon's really funny because it's almost like
Kyle MacLachlan's in it. There's a bunch of, by the pool sex scene alone.
Oh, yeah.
Most rewatchable scene of Showgirls.
Robert Davi, who's in that movie.
Yeah.
Told me once, I was interviewing him, and he said, I don't think this was on the air, but I'm going to put it on the air now. he said, everybody knew it was a campy movie, except for Elizabeth Berkley. So she was the only person in the movie that wasn't in on the joke.
All right, I'm going to say something somewhat controversial.
Okay.
She's not that bad in Showgirls.
Oh, she's terrible.
No, she's not.
Terrible.
Nomi Malone lives on.
Yeah. By the way, bad.
I thought she kind of owned it.
She was bad in the poster. She was bad on the poster of the movie, I thought.
That is ridiculous. You know what you're doing? You're picking nits. You're nitpicking.
No, you know what I'm doing? I'm
trying to get her to respond again.
Out of Elizabeth Berkley.
Well, you know that she now has a hit.
Oh,
they brought back Saved by the Bell on the Peacock Network.
Yes.
And they just renewed it for a second season.
Yep.
So they brought back everybody but Screech.
Who is
having some serious medical issues.
Yeah,
right
he's
now.
Having bad medical problems.
But they brought back everybody else. They brought back Slater, and they brought back Lisa Turtle, and they brought back Zach Morris. And apparently, I haven't seen it. Lindsay, have you seen it? Have you seen the revamped Saved by the Bell?
Yeah, I did. It wasn't that bad. And
yeah, that's
I'm
what
looking
I hear.
Forward to, they just announced like a week ago that they're doing a season two. And I think it was pretty good. It was stupid and it was cheesy, but it was done in a way where like they're making fun of the stupid things that they used to do, like the cheesy things back then. Like they know that they were cheesy and stupid, but they make fun of it. I liked it.
So yeah. I played in a charity softball game once. And this guy walks up to me and introduces himself to me. And the way I reacted, I assume everybody reacts this way, and this guy could not have been nicer. He walks up to me. I was emceeing it, and there were all these like sort of famous people in it. Mark Harmon was in it, and Dennis Haysbert was in it, and I was introducing them. So these guys were just introducing themselves to me before I introduced them, and he goes, John, Dennis Haskins. I go, Mr. Belding. And I went, oh, crap, he probably hears that from everybody, and he could not have been nicer about it. I don't know. Is he in the reboot, Lindsay? Is Mr. Belding in the reboot? Is Dennis Haskins?
No, I don't think he is.
Okay. Yeah. He could not have been. And by the way, you can tell why everybody likes Mark Harmon. Mark Harmon, like, was the most famous name there and was absolutely pot.
I did a charity
won everybody over.
One time I called it for, like, Fox Sports and couldn't have been a nicer guy. And he's got, like, now NCIS has run for 17 years or something like that, 19 years. It's like Meet the Press. NCIS is like Meet the Press. Just keeps running and running and running. Never seen it. Have you seen it?
NCIS?
Admit it, yeah. Have you ever seen NCIS?
Not one time for even 1 minute.
Not a single time in history. Not a single time in history. All right, coming up next for you, O'Shea Jackson Jr. is going to join us. We'll talk some Lakers. Plus, he's doing a new show for Kevin Durant, so he's going to have an opinion about the Brooklyn Nets, too. O'Shea is coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.